Tom, I need to talk to you about your son. Did you know that he was smoking marijuana and swearing in the men's bathroom here in the church building? What are you going to do about it? I didn't know that, Jack. What do you mean? Tom, it's time that you have a talk with the pastor. Well, what are we going to do with your kid? Tim just doesn't seem to get it. I know, but he's only a teenager. Tom has a common issue. Teenagers. Teenagers that, well, they are in that awkward place and awkward space of not being an adult yet, still being a kid, but still trying to figure himself out or herself out. They're almost an adult developmentally. And here in the course of psychology, we're beginning to understand what it means to not only develop physically, and also, as Dr. Kohlberg, as we looked at in the previous video, how we develop morally, and how we deal with immorality, to then how we then deal from, go from moral development to what we call faith development. Faith development. You see, faith development, per the theory of Dr. Fowler, who uses Dr. Kohlberg's theory and also other theories from other well-known psychologists and bringing the foundation of the biblical worldview, which we find all of psychology coming out of, as we look at this from a Christian perspective and a Christian worldview, God has created all things, including psychology. Yeah, maybe this teenager still has an issue with swearing and foul language and also doing things that are immoral. He's not conforming to the rules. Maybe he's going through a bad streak. Or maybe things are just not the way they seem to be at home. We don't know in that example. But what we do know is that teenagers, adolescence, is an up and down and sideways experience. You may recall. And we're always, when we go through the adolescent stage and the adolescence that we have, I'm the father of a 16-year-old who's almost 17, and these adolescents, they are precious in God's sight, but they serve as an example, too, of the developmental process that adults need to take a step back, breathe, and say, ah, they're adolescents. Someday, it'll click. But we do our best to point them to Jesus, to share the good news of the gospel, and to listen. Parent, yes. Listen more. And understand, too, that we all go through this developmental process, too, regarding our faith. For instance, we come to that point, Romans 10:9. If we accept Jesus Christ, or if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we are saved. That is the truth from Scripture. But we also realize, too, that new believers go through this process of becoming mature believers. And Paul is very clear on that all throughout Scripture in his epistles. Maturity in the faith. So as a person accepts Christ as at 17 or at 14 or at 25 or even 55, there is a process kind of like the adolescent process of where people go through the developmental stages of becoming more in tune with and also mature in their faith in God. Now, I bring up the whole adolescent example because if we look at a Christian home and a child that is, once they are born and reared in a Christian household, the assumption is that they're being taught about Jesus from day one. And eventually, by the time they hit age 10, or of course age 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, 13, on into their 20s, that they have come to know Christ and accept Christ as Lord of their life. And have begun the process early in life of becoming a mature believer that is now integrated into all their lives. Where they, for example, make choices that are better choices than other choices. To honor God, honoring father and mother, where they aren't caught up in the drug scene, where they're not drinking. Why? Because they know that leads to destruction. And if they follow Christ and they get to know Him better, and of course come to read in Scripture how to treat one another with love, that in fact is how a Christian lives. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. The Bible is clear. Practical. Not theoretical. Practical. Jesus took the theory and put into practice and practiced into theory. He is the way, the truth, the life. And so He brings then things to light through all of Scripture as we look at the stories of the patriarchs and the stories with Moses and the Israelites and also with the examples of the churches that Paul writes to. We look at human behavior as we filter it through God's love, God's law, God's prophets, and through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Let's take a look at Fowler. We take all that into consideration and we bring Freud, Kohlberg, now full circle into the biblical perspective by way of Dr. Fowler. Well, Dr. Fowler, he brings us into the theory of faith development. There are stages of faith. There are stages of how we become mature believers. And he put a system to this. Now, Dr. Fowler, he was the director of the Center of Ethics at Emory University in 1994 to 2005. He wrote the book that made him famous called The Stages of Faith, The Psychology of Human Development, and The Quest for Meaning. And he's also an ordained minister at the United Methodist Church. So Dr. Fowler understands psychology in the modern way, but also understands psychology the biblical way of how we then approach psychology. Where it all comes from to begin with, the Lord God, the creator of the psyche. And so Dr. Fowler brings us into these stages, or the aspects of faith. First, he begins with the fundamental stage. The fundamental stage. And the fundamental stage is where he says, none of us lives very well without it. And we need faith in general. We notice that there's a spiritual component. And from the fundamental stage, understanding that faith is a very much a part of the human experience. We are spiritual beings. Everything is spiritual. Now, I've taught many other places, and I've had students who argue with me and say, I don't think you're right, Dr. Mark. I don't think that you're correct in saying everything is spiritual. But then I respond with a question saying, well, how is it that you understand the nature of human beings? How do we get here? What's our purpose? How is it that we have all the functions in our body so that we're able to then function so we can come to that place of understanding purpose, direction, and life? Oh, didn't think about it that way. They thought it from the one perspective that we are physical. We do have developmental stages when it comes to childhood to adolescence to adulthood. Okay, but what's all involved with that? We come from somewhere. And it's not only philosophical, it's all the disciplines integrated together that God created in the first place. And it is good. Genesis chapter 1. So we get into these stages, the fundamental. Faith is a fundamental of the human experience. Then there's the universal stage of where Fowler argues that it's recognizably the same phenomenon in Christians, Marxists, Hindus, and Dinka, or Taoists, or Taoists, which is the same, or Shinto, or other religions throughout the world. Tribal religions. There's a universal sense that there is a system of worship, of morality, based upon the teachings of a given deity, divinity, that there's a sense of divinity. In my previous videos for this course, I reference often that there is the truth that we all go back to a point of reference of mythology. Now, myth does not necessarily mean untrue stories or false stories. It can mean true stories. Mythology is the study of the logos, mythos, logos, logos, the study of story. And mythos, story, that is becomes the logos, becomes truth, becomes what we believe. In the classical sense, in the ancient world, people would stand around the campfire and have oral tradition happening every single day. They did not have television, internet, or all the above. They did not have Facebook. They had each other and the environment that they lived in, the sky, the mountains around them, the dirt, the fire, the sea that they would look at and say, ah, oh, I wonder how that got there. Or they look at each other and say, I wonder how you got here. So they would make up stories saying, once upon a time, Zeus struck the earth with his lightning. Once upon a time, there was this god who then had people who were birthed out of the reeds. Like in the swamp, the reeds and the reeds, and then they would come out of the swamp reeds. And many other stories, from tribal religions to, of course, Hinduism, talking about the Godhead, it was Shiva and Vishnu and so on. You may be familiar. Or the fact that in Buddhism, there is no God. There's just life as we know it now, and of course, to get out of the cycle of reincarnation to into the state of nothingness, namely nirvana. So we can escape the injustice and the cruelty of life, the suffering, which is what Buddhism is there to do, to escape suffering. Fowler recognizes this across the board when it comes to isms, ISM, isms. There are many isms in the world that then focus on different belief systems, a different path. Taoism or Taoism, the Tao, T-A-O, or the Tao, D as in dog, D-A-O, refers to the path. The path. And so, with that example, the Taoists or the Taoists, they would say, well, there's a path to the truth. We don't know what that is. We can't define it. We can't describe it. But it just is. And there's the yin and the yang. The good and the bad. And they just can't explain it. Ooh, mysterious. So there's a mystery. There's also spirituality. There's also faith. What is faith? Faith is the hope of things that are unseen. Hope in the things that are unseen, as the scripture describes and defines. Putting our trust in what is not seen. Trust in Christ. But of course, the other religions, it's trust in the teachings, in the belief system, and maybe you will then achieve heaven in their minds. But of course, from the biblical worldview, when you put your faith in Christ, you are saved, and you're given heaven as a gift. Very different. And the whole thing of exclusivity. Not only is Christianity exclusive when it comes to Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, but also when it comes to Islam, when it comes to Buddhism, when it comes to Hinduism, although Hinduism is a little more adaptable, if you will, but there's exclusivity in each of the isms. This is how you do it. No, we do not do what that other religion says. This is what we do. Now, there's syncretism, where you have one religion then borrows from another, but then they create a whole hybrid. That's a whole other world religions class. But it illustrates the example of what Fowler was observing. He was observing all these different belief systems, how they would complement each other, perhaps, or be similar, or be mutually exclusive. Fowler was observing, like Kohlberg. He was using empirical method, scientific method, to develop an understanding and develop a framework and a system of defining how faith then develops. So from the fundamental to the universal, we then go into the infinitely varied. What does this mean? Each person's faith is unique. It is unique. He recognized that everyone who has a faith expression can be and tends to be unique, although there are similarities between each person. There's also the fact that it's inexhaustibly mysterious. So, for example, does every Christian have a similar faith? Well, there are similar aspects to it, similar components and characteristics to faith when it comes to Christianity. We all believe in the absolutes. Jesus Christ is fully divine. He is fully human. The Bible is without error. It cannot fall. Infallibility. That when it comes to ecclesiology, that we do not neglect the gathering together of God's people. We need God and we need each other. And that's very difficult in an individualistic culture where people think they can just do it on their own. And they can't. And eventually they come around where they realize that they do need the church, which becomes the hope of the world, to bring the gospel and also new societies that help people to live out their faith in support and also in teaching and understanding and therefore applying what you know and understand. However, when it comes to faith itself, in and of itself, in the development of faith, Fowler then took this position and observation that in fact, each person's faith is unique. I can agree with my fellow believer in Christ that yes, Jesus is fully divine and fully human. But how do I baptize a person into faith in Christ, or how the baptism is then practiced as the body of believers in ecclesiology and the teaching of the church? That may be very different. Some teach sprinkling of babies or dedicating babies and not sprinkling them with baptism. That's only believers' baptism, death to life. And some groups say, okay, how you do believers' baptism is death moving forward and then back up when it comes to the believers' baptism method, symbolizing the same but in a different way. Everybody has a different expression. Some people call themselves Baptists. Others call themselves Reformed. Reformed from what? Well, let me tell you. Let me explain. Everyone has a different expression of their faith. And that's what Fowler was trying, for Fowler himself. He's a Methodist. Thank you, John Wesley. John Wesley, in Christian history, he then practiced methods of bringing the gospel. And, of course, in small groups all over England, there was a whole revival that happened. The fire in the belly. Everybody had a different expression of faith. And of course, the psychology of how faith then is then experienced, also expressed, comes from how the mind then decodes that as they come to faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit moves in the person's heart. And as a Christian believer, or of course, similarly as a Buddhist or a Hindu, what they experience, what they're brought up in culturally and also spiritually, and vice versa, how they then express their faith in their religion. Fowler wanted to make it a little more universal to understand the nature of faith, being that all is spiritual and also faith in itself, where there's still that trust, regardless of rules and regulations and also methods and also what the gods say and the goddesses say, Hinduism, or the fact that you are your own master, hence Buddhism, or, of course, from the biblical worldview that you put your faith in Christ and He saves you. Now you want to do the good works God gives to you by faith, trusting in God to provide for all of your needs, Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not be in want. Different expressions. And so Fowler leads us through these aspects of faith as stages. Stages. Because then he looks at the building blocks of faith. The building blocks of faith. He talks about, and of course, these are from other expressions from other theorists. Ernst Becker said there's the man, the meaning maker. So human beings create meaning out of their experience in life. God values, per Paul Tillich, who's a theologian, he talks about God values. What we see, of course, in around us and through other people, we see then values played out. And we go to God, or sense a divinity. Then, of course, Dr. Niebuhr, another theologian, said trust in a center of value and power. Trust in a center of value and power. And, of course, he wrote the Serenity Prayer talking about serenity. And where does that serenity come from? Niebuhr wrote the Prayer of Serenity during the World War II era. And he talks about the fact that it's life and death. Faith is a matter of life and death. We put our faith in our higher power. And as believers in Jesus, Christ is the only way in truth and life and our God. But now going back to Fowler, he is making the general observation when it comes to the human experience of where we put our faith into. And hence the building blocks of faith. Man, that makes meaning. Of course, we create meaning. Of course, we have the different expressions of our faith. And the Protestant expressions, Baptist, Reformed, Methodist, Presbyterian, and so on. And then God values, where the values that we have as human beings and how we carry out our faith and our morality, therefore, then directly derives from God and also our trust in the center and value of power. We put our trust in our higher power or a divinity. And so from there, we then hear from W.C. Smith, who then brings us observations that Fowler then takes into consideration. Faith is deeper, richer, more personal. It is engendered by a religious tradition, in some cases and to some degree by its doctrines, but it is a quality of the person, not of the system. I'll read this quote again, as it's broken up here creatively in this slide. Faith is deeper, richer, more personal. It is engendered by a religious tradition, and in some cases and to some degree by its doctrines, but it is a quality of the person, not of the system. And I would argue with you, what Fowler is trying to say here is this, is that he is saying that regardless of who the person is, each human being puts their faith into some faith belief, into some belief, some divinity. Of course, back to W.C. Smith, how he looked at it too, he's saying it's the quality of the person and not of the system. First, you have the person who has a faith. They have a spiritual center. And the spiritual center is, of course, God-given, as we say, as believers in Christ. God created the whole human being, which is, again, that center is where God resides. And, of course, because of the fall and sin, We then need Jesus Christ to bridge that gap and bring us back into relationship with the Father. But so living in this broken world, follower again recognizes, and W.C. Smith as well, saying there is that quality first to consider. And that quality has to do with that spiritual center. Then comes, that's step one. Then the second step is to understand, as we differentiate, then we look at how the person then goes to the next place of where they then adopt a doctrine, adopt a system to express their faith and mature in that. Highly systemized. And of course, that then goes back to the person himself or herself and how they think and how they then act psychologically. Well, from W.C. Smith, we then go to faith as relational. We look at the quality of the person, then to the relationships. So we go from the self, the person, then to, of course, the shared center of value and power. And that's, of course, that spiritual center. And then that, of course, you see with the arrow back and forth from self to shared center, is the meaning. There's meaning, worth that sustains. To rest my heart upon. There is that faith base. Then from there, of course, from the shared center, it goes from I rest my heart upon that and the meaning, worth, and that sustains, also then to others, where there's a love between, again, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, kind, and so on, that there's a love, there's a connection. God is relational, and we look at faith as relational. Love is mutual trust and loyalty. Hence, we need that body of believers. If you ever anybody wants to argue, well, I can have church on my own, out in the woods, and between me and God only, there is empirical evidence now from a psychological perspective and, of course, begins with a biblical perspective that, no, people are relational in their faith. Faith is a relational matter. And it matters as a person of faith to have connections with other human beings who are spiritually centered. And so Fowler makes this brilliant argument to give evidence of that in any faith there is a group and a group with an individual and vice versa. You cannot not be a part of a group as a person of faith. You will eventually gravitate to one group or another group, even if you're an atheist. And frankly, in my position, there's no such thing as atheism as there are just other versions of agnosticism, where people just say, I just don't know. Hence, that is a belief. Hence, that, well, and if you say that there is no God, that is a belief. That is a faith. But then we, of course, approach everyone saying, here is the way, Christ himself. And so follower helps us to understand the dynamics of faith as it happens in the human experience. So here are the stages of faith, as follower has then defined from the other place that we looked at. Again, remember, we looked at the fundamental, the aspects of faith. Now we want to go from there, along the building blocks and Smith's quote, and the relational connections of faith, to then the stages of faith. Stage one is the intuitive or projective faith, fantasy-filled, imitative phase in which the child can be powerfully and permanently influenced by examples, moods, actions, and stories of the visible faith of primarily related adults. So, like I said earlier, when it comes to children then need that connection with God. And I said this in a previous video when it came to Kohlberg. They need this connection with their parents to know that they're okay and that things are, life is good and that they, okay, there's I'll imitate what mom and dad do. And I have this sense of God, as I've been told, but I'm not sure what that means. But, okay, I'll go along with this. And of course, I'm going to discover this. And then a childlike faith, as Jesus talks about in the Gospels, obviously, yes, okay, Mom, okay, yep, yeah, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's really where we can then capture a person for the kingdom of God at this stage. Stage one. Stage two says the mythic literal faith. This is the stage in which the person begins to take on for himself or herself the stories, beliefs, and observances that symbolize belonging to his or her community. So it's the mythic literal. And Fowler is, of course, saying that we go from just narratives and false stories or these fantasical stories, which are not necessarily true, maybe, but to getting to the literal faith that, okay, we do accept the fact that when it comes to the story of Moses, the story of Christ, the story that all is truth, and we're beginning to understand and accept that this is literal. And I belong to a community of faith. This is beginning to make sense. And stage three says it's a synthetic conventional faith. A person's experience of the world now extends beyond the family. A number of spheres demand attention. Family, school or work, peers, street society, and media, and perhaps religion. So, of course, Fowler is taking a general approach here from stage for all the stages when it comes to faith in general. I'm now addressing this from the biblical worldview. And, of course, what Fowler is doing here, too, is he is then starting from childhood. Now, they have the person who comes into the faith, they convert to Christianity, as an example, and they are now young in their faith, in their 20s or 30s or 50s, and they are then saying, okay, I'm beginning to understand what these stories mean in the Old Testament as I've come to understand the story of Christ in the New Testament. And how it's all starting to fit together. These stages speak to this as well. But for the purpose of science and psychology and, of course, now faith integrated into both, we then look at this from childhood on. So stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, individual reflective faith. Ooh, it's a mouthful. Individuative reflective faith is particularly critical for it is in this transition that the late adolescent or adult must begin to take seriously the burden of responsibility for his or her own commitments, lifestyle, beliefs, and attitudes. You could probably say that stage four is the stage of reckoning, the age of reckoning. People are beginning to realize, I need to take responsibility for my own belief. And hence, often, historically, often at age 13, 14, 16 on up, this, you know, we often see many conversions to Christianity in the adolescent world. But of course, we see this also in the childhood place too. And George Barna, who is a well-known researcher, and his organization, Barna Researching, they then have said that, yes, the younger you go, the more you'll be able to reach them for Christ. And yet you will still have the five-year-old who will hit that age 13 stage, and it's maybe it may seem like all bets are off, but they're just going through that shift physically and mentally. But then also how they then come to understand their faith at that stage in their adolescent years. Fowler helps us to understand that. So from the individuative reflective faith stage, stage five is the conjunctive faith stage. Conjunctive faith is where it involves the integration into self and outlook of much that was suppressed or unrecognized in the interest of stage four's self-certainty and conscious cognitive and affective adaption to reality. In other words, he's saying in stage five, this is where it's trying to now make sense even more of taking responsibility, reading the Bible for myself, as well as hearing it from the pastor, as well as other Christian leaders who are mature in their faith, and taking it to heart, right? Integrate my faith into what I do, how I think, what I think. For instance, if I was caught in drinking a lot of beer and I'm beginning to drink a little too much, I now understand that the Bible says that in excess is wrong. it becomes an idol. In moderation, when it comes to food, alcohol, relationships, and other things, in balance, this is what is right. So Fowler puts some definition here. And also stage six, which is exceedingly rare. Stage five is often where we then reach as believers in our maturing our faith. Because as stage five deepens, as in the conjunctive faith stage, this is where people often remain until they pass on to be with Jesus. But for some, not all, some in stage six is rare. The persons best described by it have generated faith compositions in which their felt sense of an ultimate environment is inclusive of all being. They have become incarnators and actualizers of the spirit of an inclusive and fulfilled human community. What does follower mean? Follower means that there are some people who have come so deep in their faith in Christ. Again, speak from the biblical worldview. They have come so deep in their walk with Jesus that many, such as Elijah, Enoch, Billy Graham, as well as Mother Teresa, and others who have become in such a place, so deep in their walk with Christ, and now in their example, their humility, their testimony, their actions, it all then shows something remarkable. Perhaps that's you. I gave you some notables. There are many others. Again, some, not all, in the body of believers who are the same. So consider that. Consider how God may be bringing you to stage six in a follower's system. Yet at the same time, Fowler gives us, again, the framework of faith. Because with the stages of faith, we understand where people are at in their development of faith. So as you do evangelism, as you do outreach, as you listen and then respond as a coach, counselor, pastor, teacher, know this. Everybody is at a different stage in their faith.